Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I want to discuss how online gaming lets you play with people around the world. But first, a voicemail from Jason.
Hey, Larry, Jason here. Your podcast is appreciated, and your last one will not go away in the wisps of time. Don't worry. Might have messed that up. Anyway, I've spent a lot of time prepping for games that I've jammed as well. You know, I do Theater of the Mind or Roll20, so I'll do a lot of pictures, you know, with their background changes or a monster pops up. You know, I'll keep changing the background picture on the screen, even though I'm not doing maps and whatnot. But I found your podcast very inspirational. You know, when I listened to all the different things you're doing to prep, I felt very inadequate. I felt, wow, I'm not doing half that stuff. But you know what? It's making me want to do some of that stuff. It'll make me a better GM as I do more prep in the future. So, thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you again soon. And I look forward to playing your game on, was a Thursday coming up? So, talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks, Jason. I'm really doing more organizing of all my materials to help with generating random locations and events, both for prep and at the table. And it really sped up creating the first level of the dungeon and made it a more interesting creation than I'm sure I could have come up with strictly from my own imagination. And I'm really looking forward to Thursday, and I'm really going to enjoy how you and the other players interact with my campaign, and I'm really eager to hear what you guys think of it. Thank you very much for calling in. Jason, I forgot to mention I wanted to say how cool I thought your idea was of switching the background with different images. So that's something I never thought of to try for Theater of the Mind. It will help set the tone and the mood of locations and encounters and so forth. Also, Roll20 has a jukebox feature that it didn't work for a couple of years because I guess they didn't have an agreement with the company they were using. So now you've got tabletop audio and some other mood music for RPGs that you can add to your playlists and set up different playlists for different things. So that's definitely something I'm thinking about for Thursday. So I played in a Roll20 campaign using AD&D, and it lasted approximately 4.5 years, and it ended a year ago this coming November. That's a long time to play, and I was the only player that made every single session. Unfortunately, my first character didn't make it all the way through, and I had to finish with my backup character. But the very first session, and two, maybe three sessions after that, we had very eclectic mix of nations represented. Now, yes, they were all English-speaking nations founded by England and Great Britain, but it spanned all the way from England to the United States and on to Australia. And it was quite the challenge for the people in England and Australia because of the time difference. They were in the wee hours, and Australia was even a different day than the rest of us. So that is quite something, just to think that because of the power of the internet and the speed of electronic communication, you can talk to somebody that would take months to get there if it weren't for modern technology. That just blows my mind. And I've made some really good friends with people around the world, starting with the era of email and so forth, and now with Roll20 and other things, I've gotten to know people all over the place and can actually talk to them in real time. I don't have to, like, pen pal, where you have to write and wait weeks or months for them to get the letter and turn around and write back, and you get their response. And the real-time interaction, so it's not like a play-by-post where you're waiting for somebody else to post so the rest of the action can move forward. You may be waiting for somebody to finish what they're saying, but you have that at the table. So other than being in the same room, online play is a very good substitute. And I got involved with that because I had a heck of a time trying to find a local group, and I was really missing being able to play. And yes, there are some extra hurdles one has to deal with learning the method that you choose to do your online game. Now, there's all kinds of different ways to do that that I've mentioned in the past, but if you've got the technology to be online and using the internet, and you can figure that out, you can figure out most other things. The one thing that I find being a challenge as a game master is I'm not as fluent in the interface of Roll20 to do it on the spur of the moment when I'm under pressure running a game, because I'm thinking about too many different things. That's the biggest challenge to doing it. But it's either face that challenge or not game as a game master, because it's obviously a lot easier as a player, because all you have to figure out is where you're going to move your player, what their action's going to be, and how to roll the dice that you need. And rolling the dice can be as easy as clicking a button. You don't have to learn how to write all the macros and whatnot to be a player. And I've played with people in Eastern Canada and Alberta, Canada, and French-speaking Canada, and all over the United States, and I've been limited to those regions. But if there was anybody in another region that could sync up where we could play together, that'd be great. The problem is you get too many time zones apart, and it's the middle of the night for somebody, and that makes it really difficult to have more than like a one shot. It limits you to people that are within 3, 4, 5 hours of your time, and coordinating it so that one of you is not awake when you should be sleeping. The 4.5 year game, we did audio only, so I don't know what some of the people look like our game master. I don't know what he looks like, but I do like having the video because you can see the facial expressions and see who's not getting a turn. As a game master, it's a better tool. And the reason we didn't use video is it bogged down the system. We also did not use Roll20 for the audio or the video. We used Google Hangouts, and then Google Hangouts got to where it was being too flaky. And because we were audio only, when Discord came out, we switched to Discord, and the Discord audio was a ton better than the audio for Google Hangouts. So I haven't used Google Hangouts for a couple of years in running a game. It used to be you could schedule it. Google keeps changing all their services, so I don't know if you can schedule one ahead of time or you just have to create it when it's time to go. I'm going to try with my Roll20 game that's coming up Thursday to run it all through Roll20, the tabletop, the audio, and the video. If that's a problem, I'll be ready to create a Google Hangout to avoid that issue. That's my experience playing with people around the world in Roll20. I'd like to hear your experience. What's the widest spread of time zones in a single game you've been in from one end to the other? Were you on one of the ends, or were you in the middle? In my case, the U.S. is in the middle between England and Australia. I guess each end could say they're the ones in the middle. What is the maximum distance apart to most distant players in the session were from each other? And I know that there are some people that it's just easier to do Roll20 than drive 15 minutes to your friend's house, because it saves you a half hour of drive time and you can get more game time in. So what's the closest distance you've ever gamed with Roll20? Call in and let me know. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com. My podcast on Anchor is also on several other places where it is syndicated. And if you listen to my podcast on iTunes, please leave a review. I also have a YouTube channel devoted to various RPG topics. And my most popular series is Roll20 for the Absolute Beginner. So if you are not familiar with Roll20 and you want to start online gaming either as a game master or a player, check out my series. You can find all of my various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. Check the social page on my blog to locate me across the various social media. I also contribute to multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like my podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways that you can support my efforts. First, please let me know. And more importantly, tell others. Just getting the word out there is very important. And I invite you to consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on DriveThruRPG. I have over one dozen and counting RPG-related PDFs on DriveThruRPG. I'm also working on a card game that I hope to kickstart in 2020. You can find the sign-up sheet for the announcement mailing list on my blog. And finally, I have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo by Satine Phoenix. I really hope that you support me, and for everyone that's already supporting me, I thank you so very much. I hope you're all having an awesome day. Thank you very much for listening, and game on.